This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Nowhere to Run, written by Robin Peterman, performed by Abby Craden.
Prologue. Her lips moved frantically, but I couldn't make out what she was saying. I tried, but the ringing in my ears wouldn't go away. As I moved toward her, her face distorted in anger and desperation. What had I done wrong? She always smiled at me. She never shouted. Everything was red. It shouldn't be red. Shaking my head, I blocked out the screaming and groans of my brothers and glanced wildly around the room. It would take so long to clean up the mess, but I could do it. I was a good girl. I would make her smile. I would make them all smile. Everything would be okay. I would pick up the pieces and put them back together like a puzzle. My brothers would be proud. They teased me because I was such a little girl. But I would show them.
Dima!
My mother shouted.
Go! Go now!
I shook my head no and moved towards her. She'd gotten tangled in ropes and chains. That was a silly game. I didn't ever want to play that game.
Listen to me,
she hissed as her eyes grew wide with terror.
You must leave, child. He's coming back.
I heard them gasping for air behind me, but I couldn't look at that anymore. It was not the way it was supposed to be. My brothers were big and strong, not red and broken. This was a terrible game, and I wanted them to stop.
Mommy!
I cried.
I'm scared!
Her eyes fluttered shut for a moment, then flew open blazing a brilliant green.
Use your gift. Use the gift I taught you and go. Go far away from here, Dima, and never come back.
Come with me, I begged as panic filled me. I'm too small to go away. I want you to come, and Sean and Timothy and Matthew.
Your father will be back any moment,
she wailed.
You will do as I say now. Find your power and leave this place forever.
But I love you, Mummy, I choked out through the tears that had started and wouldn't end for hundreds of years.
If you love me, you will go,
she growled harshly. I backed away and put my hands over my mouth so I wouldn't beg any more.
I love you, my beautiful Dima,
my precious daughter, she whispered.
Please go.
I nodded my head, and she smiled. I would do anything to make her smile. I loved her. So I did as she said. I left. But the horror of that day would follow me. Always. Chapter 1 490 Years Later.
I was thinking maybe we could do something fun, I suggested, trying my best not to sound pushy or desperate. I accidentally, on purpose, let the strap of my very fitted dress fall off my shoulder, revealing a little side boob and a tremendous amount of cleavage. This tactic usually worked like a dream, but apparently not today.
That sounds wonderful, Dima. What did you have in mind? Seth asked kindly as he expertly cleaned the daggers we'd used for target practice, while totally oblivious to the blatant display of my knockers.
He was perfect, kind of. Not only was the man panty-melting gorgeous, more importantly, he was good through and through. I'd never met a dragon like him. Most male dragons I'd come across in my very long life were possessive, perverted, and violent. Seth was patient and kind, and was perfectly fine with the fact I was a single mother to an active four-year-old. Any other scaled jackass would have wanted nothing to do with a child that wasn't his. The thought of a female dragon having been intimate with another was too much to handle for the pea-brained fire breathers, even though we were a very sexual race. Not to mention my lineage didn't send him running for the hills. Seth was different. Hence my frustration. and my need to seduce. Why in the blazes wasn't he trying to jump my bones? Had I lost my touch? Was he gay? I'd never come across a gay dragon in my 499 years on Earth, but... I was thinking we could have a picnic in a deserted park. Naked, I added for good measure to see if he was listening.
That sounds lovely, Dima. Why don't we bring Daniel? I can work with him on his flying,
Seth chimed in agreeably. He wasn't listening. Actually, I said, heaving a frustrated sigh, I'm taking him to Hung Island, Georgia. He'll be safe there.
That's an outstanding idea,
Seth replied with a genuine smile and a gentle nod of his head.
I'll meet you there in 2 days. How does that sound?
Great, I said with forced enthusiasm. I'll see you then. Is there something wrong with me? I asked as I took critical stock of myself in the mirror. I looked like I always did. I'd done nothing to earn my looks except be born. Wild red hair, emerald green eyes, slim figure, tall, and nice tatas, all inherited from my mother. Most dragons were appealing. It helped us attract prey. Not that many of us lived that way anymore. Since melding in with the humans, for the last several hundred years, most of us had reined in our barbaric tendencies of old. Plus, we ate food just like the humans. Grocery stores and restaurants were plentiful. Was I missing something that made me undesirable? Is that a trick question? Essie, my new werewolf friend, asked with a smirk as she looked up from the coloring book she was sharing with my son Daniel. You breathe fire. When you shift, you're roughly the size of a frickin' tour bus with a tail that spans half a football field and the wingspan of a couple SUVs parked back to back. You're gonna have to be more specific with the question.
You're an ass werewolf, I said with a grin.
Tell me something I don't know, dragon.
She shot back with a laugh and resumed coloring.
Essie's parents, permanently stuck in their shifted wolf form, lay under the table lightly snoring while her best friend, the filter-free and fabulous gay vampire Dwayne, pored over wedding invitation catalogs. Essie was getting married to Hank, and Dwayne was her man of honor. From what I understood, Dwayne was planning to wear a dress for the nuptials. I decided not to touch that one. It was Essie's big day, and if she was cool with an undead man of honor wearing a gown, who was I to judge? The simple fact that they'd accepted Daniel and me as friends was mind-blowing to me. Dragons were not popular with any other magical species. My father had made sure of that. But being here in Hung, Georgia, under the protection of Essie and Hank's wolf pack, was as safe and homey as Daniel and I had experienced in his 4 years on Earth. For that, I was thankful. However, I had a date with death staring me in the face in a few months if I didn't find a mate or kill my father.
You're gorge,
Dwayne announced as he pulled out fabric swatches and laid them next to the invitations and pictures of wedding cakes he'd torn from magazines.
Both you and Essie are so hot. If I liked vaginas, I'd be on you like white on rice.
What's a vagina?
Daniel asked, pointing a chubby finger at the now paler than usual vamp.
Oh, well, a vagina is a dance done by extinct tribes of pygmy goat shifters,
Dwayne stuttered as I reluctantly gave him a chance to crawl out of the body part hole.
If we say vagina too many times, the goats will magically appear and eat all the cookies that Granny made. Not to mention they smell like rotting fish, so we really don't want to use that term.
He finished on a high note and gave me a mortified shrug along with an apologetic grin. Dwayne should not be allowed to crawl out of holes. Ever. A vagina is a body part of a woman, I said as I sat down next to Daniel and picked up a crayon. You know how you have a penis?
Yes.
He replied with a giggle and went to pull down his pants to show us. Quickly sitting him on my lap to end the strip show, I continued. A boy has a penis, and a girl has a vagina. No big deal.
Can a girl spray pee-pee on the wall with a vagina?
He asked seriously as Essie shoved the page she was coloring into her mouth to keep from laughing.
Well, I did know a...
Dwayne started.
Nope.
I cut the vampire off as the wolves under the table growled at him in warning.
Girls can't do that. I explained to my son as I gave Dwayne the mom eyeball, or mom ball, as I liked to refer to it.
That is very sad.
Daniel shook his little head as his blonde curls bounced.
Tell me about it.
Essie agreed with a disgusted grunt.
When I was little, I had to bring toilet paper when I ran away to the woods for the day. None of the boys had to do that.
Why didn't you use a leaf?
Dwayne inquired, wedding planning forgotten.
Because once you wipe with poison ivy, you bring toilet paper, she hissed.
I stifled a giggle and hoisted my little man over my shoulder. He needs a nap, I told my newly found friends. Which room should I use?
Upstairs, second door on the right.
Essie's grandma, Bobby Sue, said as she came out of the kitchen covered in flour.
Stay out of my sewing room. I'm working on Dwayne's Dolly Parton costume. Room's covered in thousands of sequins, and I might have left the hot glue gun on. Wouldn't want our little man getting burned.
Thanks, I said as I bit back my grin. Granny and Dwayne were famous on the shifter drag show circuit from what I'd picked up. Daniel and I are impervious to burns, but the sequins could be a problem if he ate them.
Oh, God, Dwayne announced dramatically. One time I ingested a bag of sequins by accident and got excited that my poop would sparkle, but then I remembered, I don't poop. Vampires can't poop.
That statement received total silence from everyone except for Daniel, who unfortunately thought it was hilarious.
I'm not even going to ask how a blood drinker eats sequins by accident,
Essie muttered as she stood and stretched.
I'm going to have to go home to Hank in a few. Will you and Daniel be okay at here, Granny's?
We're actually going to move over to the hung bed and breakfast, I told Essie as I snuggled my sleepy boy in my arms. Seth's coming tomorrow night and reserved a suite.
Mr. Snuffleupagus,
Essie inquired with a grunt of laughter. I'm sorry? I asked, confused.
Big Bird's invisible friend on Sesame Street,
Dwayne supplied, as if that would erase my confusion. None of my new friends had met Seth yet, and apparently were doubtful of his existence.
He's real, I said with a sigh. Seth is a fine man.
He's wonderful with Daniel, and he's extremely kind and good. And, kind.
He's ugly, isn't he?
Dwayne asked as he critically eyed the pictures of the cakes next to the picture of what I assumed was Essie's dress.
Or he has a small man package.
Why would you say that? I demanded.
Because no one describes the man they're doing the horizontal mambo with as nice, unless he's lacking in certain departments, Dwayne explained.
Sadly, he made some sense. Not about the small package. I wouldn't know the answer to that one as I'd never seen him naked. But the rest...
Tell you what,
Granny chimed in as she took a very sleepy Daniel from my arms and gave Dwayne a look that made even me shudder.
I'm gonna put this little bugger down for a nap before the bloodsucker says something that's going to scar the child for eternity or makes you burn him to a crisp. And if you're gonna do that, take it outside. I like my knickknacks.
Granny left the room with the two wolves close on her heels. They'd taken a real liking to Daniel and rarely left his side.
Seth's not even remotely ugly, and I have no clue what his package looks like, I snapped as I plopped down on the couch and let my head fall into my hands.
Maybe he's gay.
I have a fabu gaydar. I can check him out tomorrow and tell you if he plays on my team in 3 seconds flat,
Dwayne offered as they sat down next to me.
Have you made it clear you're interested?
Essie asked as she flanked me on the other side.
Yep, I've all but jumped him. He's perfect in every other way. Maybe he doesn't want me.
Impossible,
Dwayne snorted, and Essie nodded in agreement.
He'd have to be a blind castrati to not want you. I want you, and I don't like girls,
Dwayne added rather unhelpfully.
I thought you wanted me,
Essie said with a laugh and an eye roll.
I want to be you,
Dwayne assured her, which caused an even bigger eye roll from Essie.
Who wouldn't want to be Essie?
She had a fabulous mate who adored her. She had a grandma and friends who would die for her. She had her parents, even though they were stuck in their wolf form, who adored her as well. Deadly as all get out should be her middle name, and she could shoot better than anyone I'd ever come across. Essie was beautiful, but what she had in love and loyalty far outweighed her looks. I wasn't such a great deal. I had looks and very little else to offer. Sure, I was just as deadly as Essie, but that didn't make me any friends. I have too much baggage, I said, revealing my biggest fear to my new friends. Why in the world would anyone want me? My father is the reviled Dragon King. I have no family to speak of because he killed them all, and I'm a single mom. Oh my God, saying it out loud is so freaking depressing.
It is kind of off-putting when you lay it out like that, Dwayne agreed as Essie slapped his bald head.
Dima, you're amazing, and if this Seth douchebag hole can't see that, he doesn't deserve you, Essie argued as she aimed for Dwayne's head again. Do you think he's your true mate?
Did I? No, I didn't. But dragons rarely ever got to be with their true mate.
No, and Daniel's father wasn't either, I said softly.
Should I get you guys some Twinkies and wine? Dwayne asked as he hopped off the couch to avoid Essie's left hook.
Why would you get us Twinkies and wine?
Essie asked as she closed her eyes and let her head fall back on her shoulders.
Because this is getting good, and I know how you gals like to eat and gossip, he offered reasonably.
Do you have ice cream? I asked as a little grin pulled at my lips.
Coming right up,
Dwayne said as he raced from the room to get our fattening girl talk food.
So, Daniel's father, Essie prompted me. Do I have to tell you without ice cream? No, but Dwayne has a big mouth, so anything you want to say in confidence should be said now.
She replied as she tossed me a throw pillow to hang on to for courage.
Dwayne's a talker? I asked, surprised. Nope. He just gets excited and runs his mouth. He'd die for any of us. He'll also pilfer your clothes, so don't let him near your suitcases.
I can hear you,
Dwayne called out from the kitchen.
Supersonic vampire hearing.
No one is going to die for me,
I promised with a small grin. And I think he's already been in my suitcase. Essie laughed and then grew quiet. It was crazy, but I trusted this werewolf more than I trusted my own people. I'd only known her a short while, but she'd stood up for me in ways no one had, as had her mate, Hank, and her granny and Dwayne. If I was going to tell my sordid tale to anyone, it may as well be Essie. Besides, I had an enormous request to ask of her. I'd been waiting for the right time. No time was the right time for this question.
If I die, would you hide and raise Daniel?
I asked on one breath as I stared at her hard and accidentally tore the pillow in half.
Wow, wasn't expecting that one,
she said as her eyes grew wide with surprise.
Want to give me a few more details?
Yes, long story short. Daniel's father was a lovely man that I barely knew. He wasn't my true mate, but he was a good man and I was attracted to him. The pregnancy wasn't planned, and he was killed by my father before he even knew about it. Any dragon I've ever shown an interest in has been murdered by my father, I said as I picked at the torn pillow feathers that floated in the air around me.
Dude, that is some screwed up shit,
Essie said as she stood up and began to pace.
So, other than being a gaping, murderous ass monkey, why does your sperm donor kill all your potential mates?
So the line ends, I replied.
Not following,
Essie said as she took the destroyed pillow from my hands and replaced it with a cast iron doorstop shaped like a duck.
I'm the next in line, and he doesn't want me to rule. But if he were to have a son, doesn't that trump your right to the throne?
Essie asked the appropriate question.
I think so,
I said slowly, wondering how much I should spill. Since I'd asked her to take her life into her own hands by raising my son upon the very real possibility of my demise, she deserved to know it all. That would be true if my father was of the royal house of dragons, but he's not. My mother was.
And that means you and Daniel are the rightful heirs. Actually, the only heirs.
Essie finished the story.
The damn duck doorstop was indestructible. I needed to destroy something or set it on fire to keep talking. Realizing my need, Essie handed me a pile of Granny's gossip magazines. I began to tear them to shreds.
It gets even worse,
I admitted as I tore the glossy paper head off of Brad Pitt and several other movie stars I couldn't place.
If I don't mate before I turn 500, I die anyway. The Royal Dragon line comes with some screwed-up perks. I have to kill my father before my birthday so Daniel is safe.
Holy Faye Dunaway with a truckload of wire hangers,
Dwayne gasped as he re-entered the room with several gallons of ice cream and two bottles of wine.
We've got some problems here.
No, I said as I wadded up the pages I'd torn apart and shook my head.
I have some problems, not you. The only thing I ask is that if I die and my father still lives, you would keep my son safe. He's the only thing in the world that means anything to me.
I wasn't used to asking for things. It was difficult, and my pride was taking a beating. But my son was far more precious than my ego.
Done, Dwayne said without missing a beat. I'm clearly outnumbered with 8 daughters, and I've always wanted a son. Being gay and dead, it's highly unlikely I'll get an heir in the usual fashion. I have more homes than I even know about. I can keep him hidden for eternity, and the cows will spoil his little fire-ass rotten.
Tears filled my eyes, and I tried not to laugh at the thought of my son being raised by a gay vampire with 8 adopted violent, yet sweet, were-cow daughters, but a small smile made its way to my trembling lips.
I believe she asked me, Essie corrected her BFF.
Please, Dwayne huffed. You and Hank travel too much, and if you become council members, it would be awfully hard to hide a dragon.
You think you're up to raising a preschool fire breather, vagina man?
Essie inquired with a smirk.
Yes, I do. I wipe my hoo-hoo with poison ivy,
he shot back. Thank you, I said quietly, not quite believing my good fortune at finding this crazy crew.
However, Dwayne continued as he shoved a tub of ice cream into my hands and stabbed a spoon into it. I say, you're not going to bite it. Are you into your gay boyfriend?
I started.
We don't know he's gay,
Essie reminded him as she dug into her mint chocolate chip.
This is true,
Dwayne agreed, as he floated to the ceiling in excitement.
I will teach you how to seduce him. You'll be mated by the end of the week. We can then go en masse to kill your bastard-ass father and be back in time for me to finish planning my wedding. It's simple.
First of all, it's my wedding, you undead dork, and Dima needs no help in seducing anyone. She's hotter than hell in a heat wave. Have you tried flashing some boob?
Essie asked as she pulled Dwayne off the chandelier. Yep, I replied as they both gasped in shock.
The boob failed?
Dwayne asked, dismayed.
Yep.
He's got to be gay,
Dwayne fretted.
Do you have anyone else in mind?
No, I replied on a long sigh. It's kind of hard to find a dragon. Most of them know my father will try to kill them.
I can see how that might cause a few problems,
Essie said as she resumed her pacing.
You don't need to mate with anyone to kill your dad. We just have to work fast. If he's dead, it will be far easier to find a frickin' mate before you bite the big one. There are many ways to skin a cat, or more accurately, kill a dragon.
He has a rather large army of insane dragons that would do anything for him. I supplied as I pressed the bridge of my nose to alleviate the ice cream headache I'd just given myself, or maybe it was Essie's way with words.
True, but we have Junior.
Essie clapped her hands and did a little dance around the still-floating Dwayne. Your alpha? I asked doubtfully. Junior seemed like a great guy, but he was also clumsy and kind of a hot mess. His obsession with a gal named Sandy, who wouldn't give him the time of day, was all he thought about. To me, he appeared to be a handsome good old boy who ran a pack of wolves.
I know.
Essie cut me off before I could say anything else.
He's all kinds of spectacularly unorganized, but the dude is Mensa.
Shut the front door, I said with a surprised laugh.
No way. Yes way, and he can hack into anything, she added with an evil little smirk.
Outstanding, Dwayne shouted. We can metaphorically slice your father's financial balls into confetti with Junior's help, and then I'll mind melt the stinky butt jammer when his army turns on him. And then, of course, we can confetti his testes for real.
Okay, those visuals are a little much, but the general idea is fairly brilliant, I said as I put down my tub of frozen sugar and started pacing next to Essie. Money is paramount to my father's operation, and I'm more than sure most of it's illegal. Destroy a dragon's hoard, destroy a dragon. If we can fracture his army, I have a real chance of taking him out. Is Junior really that good?
Junior is better than that good, Essie promised. Tomorrow morning is the beginning of the end of Daddy Dearest.
I think I love you, I said as I tackled Essie and Dwayne in a hug.
Just don't tell Hank,
Dwayne advised with wide eyes and a barely disguised smirk.
He's a little possessive of me.
Oh my hell, Dwayne, you're going to drive me to drink,
Essie griped as she giggled and punched him in the arm.
Got you covered,
he said as he handed each of us a full bottle of very fine wine. It was the best damn bottle of wine I'd drunk in 499 years. Chapter 2.
It's been about a month and a half, and I'm pretty sure my balls are gonna explode,
Junior lamented as he moved around the sheriff's office like a bull in a china shop. My doubts about his ability to lead, much less hack into an empire and bring it to his knees, came roaring to the forefront. Junior was a hot mess on a sharp stick.
Junior, I'm gonna need you to focus here and get your brains out of your crotch for a few hours. Can you do that?
Hank asked as he ran his hands through his hair in frustration.
Of course I can focus,
Junior huffed.
I just wanted you to know the state of my purple nuts. Not to mention Sandy's wearing a goddang miniskirt today.
Junior and Hank were brothers, gorgeous and powerful wolf shifters. Hank had been the alpha of the Georgia pack until very recently when he and Essie went to work for their council. Now Junior was in charge. I wondered at the wisdom of having a horny and destructive wolf as alpha, but again, I was not here to judge.
Being as I'm not the only one standing in the office, the state of your testicles is not appropriate conversation,
Hank replied wearily. Clearly Junior kept his brother apprised of his explosive man parts. As amusing as it all was, I didn't have time for this. Essie, Dwayne, Hank, and I had come to talk to Junior, and it wasn't proceeding like I'd hoped.
I'm sorry,
Junior apologized to the room.
It's just that I'm a recovering man whore, and it's been hard.
Pun intended, Dwayne inquired seriously.
What?
Junior asked, perplexed. Shit. It was going to take a lot to convince me he was Mensa.
Ignore the vampire,
Essie said as she physically sat Dwayne down in a chair, and then did the same to Junior, who was almost twice her size.
Sandy's into you. You just have to keep your thingy in your pants for a few more weeks, and then she'll go out with you.
Are you sure?
Junior asked.
I catch her looking, so I've been flexing a lot. But she won't really talk to me about anything other than work.
Essie said as she tried not to laugh. Don't flex. Just act normal around her.
That is normal for Junior,
Hank informed his mate with a headshake and a chuckle.
Alrighty then.
Essie bit back a giggle.
Just keep doing what you're doing. If your banana sack blows, you'll grow another one back. Probably bigger, she added for good measure.
Sweet Jesus on a roller coaster, that is the best news I've heard all week. Would it be offensive if I told Sandy the good news about my man tool?
Yes, extremely offensive,
Essie told him with a snort.
Do not share with Sandy. It will not help your cause.
Good to know. So what can I do for you good people?
Junior inquired. I was kind of done with the niceties and the discussion about Junior's reproductive organs. I needed to get down to business or make a new plan. Seth would be here in a few hours, and he was my plan B.
I had no intention of letting Dwayne help me seduce Seth into becoming my mate, but I wasn't above getting a few pointers. Can you hack into bank accounts and drain them completely, leaving no trail? I asked Junior bluntly.
Just U.S. bank accounts?
Junior sat up straight. His expression went from dopey to intelligently curious. No, there would be stock portfolios and offshore accounts as well, I replied.
What about land holdings? Other investments?
He queried as he went behind his desk and fired up his laptop. Investments, yes. What can you do with land? I asked, confused.
Well, if I drain the accounts and hack into the property deeds, I can put them up for sale. We then buy them with some of the funds we drain, and the kicker would be we turn around and resell everything, unless you want to keep the land.
He explained logically, as if anything he was saying was even remotely logical. Logical? No. Brilliant? Yes, yes, and yes. You can do all that? I was shocked. I hadn't even considered the land, and there was an enormous amount.
I have a few friends that enjoy acquiring properties. Do you care if they get a very good deal?
Junior questioned as his fingers flew over the keyboard faster than I'd ever seen anyone type. No, as long as they're your friends. Undervalue the shit out of it and sell, I told him as I pulled a chair over to the desk and sat next to him.
Do you mind me asking who exactly we're doing this to?
Junior gave me a goofy grin and waited. My father, the Dragon King.
Holy shit! Junior yelled gleefully. This is gonna be fun! That mother humper has so much blood on his hands it ain't right! What are we doing with the money? You want me to lock it up in an untraceable trust for you and Daniel? I can do it offshore, and I'll lock that sucker up so tight no one will ever find it.
No, I don't want any of it, I said with a shudder. It was filthy money, and I wanted nothing from my father. Ever.
I thought dragons liked to have huge hoards,
Dwayne chimed in.
You could have a massive hoard with all that money.
A dragon's hoard consists of what is most important to him or her. I have money. I made it legally, and I've invested it well over the years. It's not important to me other than for the fact I can take care of my son. The only thing of importance in my life is Daniel. He's my hoard, I said simply. No riches could replace my child.
Damn to hell in a handbasket. I think I'm crying,
Junior said as he wiped a tear from his eye.
My mama feels the same way about Hank and me. Your boy's lucky, Dima.
Thanks, Junior, I replied and handed him a tissue.
So what exactly am I going to do with the tens of millions I'm about to procure?
He asked as he dabbed delicately at his eyes, and then blew his nose like a trumpet. It's hundreds of billions, I corrected him as his smile grew wider with delight. And I want every last cent of it to go to charity. Can you donate anonymously? I want no trace back to my father or any of us.
Can do, will do. Junior can hack apart a small country. This'll be a breeze. It'll take a week or two because I'm going to have a little help here and there. And if you have any passwords or account numbers, I'd be much obliged,
he said as he rubbed his hands together in excitement. Do you always talk about yourself in third person? I asked as I squinted my eyes at him and grinned.
Yes, I do. God dang it. Do you think that might be part of my problem with Sandy?
Junior asked very seriously. He had it really bad for this Sandy. Well, it might be better to lose that habit, I offered diplomatically. Why don't you ask her questions about herself? That might get her talking.
I don't need to,
he replied with a self-satisfied smirk.
And that would be because,
Essie cut in with a grimace on her lovely face.
I got her under surveillance,
Junior replied with pride.
I know every move my darling gal makes.
That's creepy, Dwayne said with a shudder.
Please tell me you didn't hide cameras in her bathroom.
Only one,
Junior admitted.
It's aimed at the shower. I'm not a total jackhole.
At this point, that was debatable as far as I was concerned.
Junior, that doesn't fly, and if she finds out, you'll lose her for good.
Hank's grunt of disgust was echoed around the room.
What in the dang hell are you talking about?
Junior demanded, starting to freak out that he'd screwed up,
You stalked Essie in Chicago for a full year. I was taking my cue from you, bro. Stalking someone and filming them are two totally different things, Hank argued. I didn't watch her eat her cereal in the morning. Excuse me? I call bullshit on that one,
Dwayne reminded Hank with raised brows and pursed lips.
Fine, Hank groused. It was only once or twice, and I was hiding in the tree outside the kitchen window.
Oh my God, werewolves were more insane than dragons.
I think that's kind of hot, Essie admitted with a shrug and a wink at Hank. So, here's the deal, Junior. You can spy on Sandy in person, but you have to get the damn cameras out of her house.
What about her car, the yoga studio, the grocery store, the library where she heads up the book club, the park where she runs, the hair salon, and her dad's church?
We were all stunned to silence, even Dwayne.
Get rid of all that shit, Hank growled. You've lost your damn mind, man.
I love her,
Junior whispered and scrubbed his hand over his face.
I don't want anything to happen to her. Sandy won't let me protect her, so I figured out a way to watch over her and keep her safe.
It was creepy, but it was also very clear that the poor sap was head over heels in love with her. He just had an unusual way of showing it.
Can I resuggest simply asking her questions about herself? Or maybe you should take up yoga, or possibly running.
Find out when she does her activities and make sure you do yours at the same time, I said, praying to end this conversation in Sandy's favor.
Dima, you might be onto something there. How about I hack the shit out of your father's holdings and you help me work on Sandy?
Junior bargained. I can do that, I agreed with a laugh.
But you have to remove all the cameras immediately. I'd burn a dude to a crisp if I found out he was watching my every move.
Done,
Junior said as he crossed his heart.
So about the passwords, you got any?
As a matter of fact, I do. I was able to procure some of them a few years back. I told him as I pulled his laptop toward me and typed in some information that I'd memorized.
You mean steal?
Essie asked with a grin.
Semantics,
I laughed and shrugged. Junior examined the screen as the information came up and whistled in appreciation.
Well, slap my ass and call me Sally. This is going to be even easier than I'd first thought as long as he hasn't changed anything.
My father is a creature of habit, I promised. He isn't capable of change.
Then y'all skedaddle. I got me some dragon accounts to take down,
Junior mumbled. He became immediately engrossed in his computer screen as if we'd already left.
Come on,
Hank whispered as Junior typed away.
He doesn't even realize we're here anymore.
Can we eat? Essie asked. I'm starving.
You got it, babe,
Hank said as he took her hand in his. I watched them with a mix of envy and happiness. I wanted love like they had, but I knew it wasn't in the cards for me. If I could make Daniel's life safe, that would be the best gift I could receive in this life. Real love had eluded me for 499 years. It certainly wasn't going to find me now.
Do you guys mind if I call Granny and have her bring Daniel to meet us?
I asked as I followed them out into the bright Georgia sunshine.
Already done,
Hank said over his shoulder with a smile.
They're meeting us at the diner.
God, I liked these wolves. I knew I couldn't stay here forever. It would be too dangerous for them if I did. My father was always searching for me and Daniel. However, I was going to treasure every single moment that I had in Hung, Georgia. Real friendship was new to me, and it was getting addictive.
I'd like to do a little show at the wedding reception, Granny told Essie as she cut Daniel's chicken fingers up so small I almost laughed.
We were all crammed into a booth at the Hung Diner. The place was packed and hummed with happy people eating fried food. I hadn't felt so relaxed in a long time. Letting down my guard was dangerous, but I was in the company of two deadly werewolves, a vampire, and a half-vampire, half-wolf. Essie's granny had almost died in a fight with dragons and feral werewolves. Dwayne had taken a chance, and with Essie's permission, had turned granny. Other than the people at this table and Junior, no one knew of Granny's new bizarre DNA. It was the only reason I'd told them about Daniel. Essie needed to know my most precious secret because I'd inadvertently learned hers. Very few people knew about Daniel,
and I wanted it that way. His life was in constant danger with my father alive.
What kind of show?
Hank asked warily as Essie's eyes narrowed at her grandmother.
I want it to be a surprise.
Granny hedged as she put an obscene amount of ketchup on my son's plate.
Does it involve exposing your breasts?
Essie's lips pursed as she questioned her grandmother and Hank's eyes closed in pain. It was a fair question. Granny was apparently notorious for stripping in her younger years. She had to be in her 80s now, but didn't look a day over 40. She was a looker, and then some.
No, Granny mumbled.
Duane grinned and watched the drama unfold.
Nipples? Essie demanded. I wear pasties, so no. Mostly my bottom will be exposed as I'll be wearing assless leather chaps, Granny explained. White ones, because it's your wedding. What?
Essie choked out as Hank paled and tried not to gag.
I only face the back when I do my leaps across the stage, so my tushy will be displayed minimally. Plus, there are quite a few feathers near my butt, she promised. Now, normally, I wear the nipple-less sequined bra for this number. But since it's your special day, I'm just fine with wearing white jeweled pasties. Duane's gonna rap while I dance. He'll be dressed as Nicki Minaj. His wig is fabulous.
Hank's guttural groan and Essie's squeal of terror were eclipsed by Duane and Granny's peals of laughter. Daniel, who was now covered in ketchup and looked like he needed hospitalization, joined in even though he had no clue what he was cackling at. These people were nuts, and I so wished they were mine.
Got ya!
Granny yelled with delight.
Shoulda seen your face! Hank near passed out!
Essie's sigh of relief was so audible I started to laugh.
You realize you will pay for this prank when you least expect it,
Essie warned Granny and Duane with an enormous grin on her face.
I'll be ready, sweetheart,
Granny vowed as she kept laughing.
I think it would have been fabulous,
Duane said as he attempted to wipe all the ketchup off of Daniel.
You should never think,
Hank snapped as he shuddered.
Excuse me,
a huge muscled man interrupted. The man rocked back and forth on his feet, clearly uncomfortable. He was a shifter, but I'd never seen him before.
Howdy, Jimbo,
Hank said evenly as he sat up straighter and put on his game face.
What can we do for you?
You're sitting with dragons.
He stated the obvious as his eyes squinted at Daniel and me.
Yes, and?
Essie replied with a dangerous edge to her voice.
We don't want no dragons round here.
He shot back and crossed his arms over his massive chest. My inner dragon wanted to fry him like all the food offered in the diner, but I refrained and pulled Daniel closer. However, one false move on his part, and he was dead. I could take him out in a heartbeat, but I'd only be proving why he didn't want me here in the first place.
She has every right to be here,
Duane said in a voice that made the hair on my neck stand up. Either Duane's tone didn't faze Jimbo, or he was stupid enough to tangle with a vampire that could blow people up. With a name like Jimbo, I didn't know why I expected brilliance.
We don't like vampires much either,
Jimbo informed the table bluntly.
Didn't have no problems like this till recently. We ain't gonna stand for it much longer.
How about this?
Hank offered as he leaned back and got comfortable.
You can move your prejudiced ass right on out of Hung. The sheriff and the pack are fine with this. These particular dragons pose us no threat and are under our protection. And the vampires save the town's ass if I'm remembering correctly. You are.
Duane added as he too sat back. Relaxed shifters and vampires were not a good thing in my vast experience.
Or we can go out back and I can kick your ass to hell,
Essie offered with a smile that didn't reach her eyes.
Oh, come on, Essie. I want to have a go at Jimbo. He's always kind of bugged me.
Granny complained and cracked all her knuckles, readying herself for a fight. Jimbo blanched and backed away.
We just don't want no trouble here,
he said stiffly.
Dragons ain't nothing but trash. You know Jimbo,
Hank said as he picked at Daniel's fries and popped one into his mouth. He chewed slowly and stared hard at the now very uncomfortable Jimbo before he spoke again.
Never really liked you much, and your intimidation tactics don't work on me. In fact, they make me want to run you and your hate-mongering family out of town. But I'll just leave that to Junior, since he's the alpha. He has a craw up his ass for species intolerance, and he's been itching for a fight for a while now.
Since he's given up being a man-whore, he has a hell of a lot of unused aggression,
Essie added with a shrug.
Pretty sure he killed the last guy who pissed him off.
Nah,
Hank corrected her.
He just permanently maimed him. Never gonna walk again. And if I'm recalling correctly, the guy's a soprano now.
Jimbo continued to back up.
This ain't the end of this,
he hissed as he turned and practically ran from the diner. I knew it wasn't. Dragons were not welcome in civilized places. I needed to leave this town sooner rather than later. I would not be the reason for discourse or death in Hung, Georgia. I let my head fall for a brief second and wondered if I'd ever find a safe place for Daniel. Even if my father was eliminated, our welcome wasn't guaranteed anywhere in this world.
That's a bad man,
Daniel said quietly as he patted my face with his chubby ketchup-covered hands.
Me will take care of you, Mommy.
My heart grew bigger as I stared at my beautiful child. He was everything that was good, and I was hell-bent on making sure he grew up safely. No, my precious man. Mommy will take care of you, I promised. You get to be a little boy for a few more years.
And Dwayne will kill the shit out of anything that wants to harm you,
Dwayne promised as he leaned over and gently kissed Daniel's forehead. I didn't give Dwayne any crap about cursing in front of my son. Daniel would hear much worse in his life, and at least this swearing was meant with love. Furthermore, if Dwayne was going to raise Daniel, I was certain the salty language would come with it. Daniel raised his arms to the vampire and cuddled up in his lap as Granny absently played with his curls. These people meant too much to me to put them in harm's way. I'd wait for Seth and then find another place to hide while I planned my father's demise. He's just the tip of the iceberg, I said wearily. We won't stay much longer. It's not safe for you or for us. I can defend myself, but Daniel's just a child.
We're going back to the sheriff's office,
Hank said as he stood and tossed some money on the table.
Why?
Essie asked, as she too stood and then reached for Daniel.
Dima and Daniel need to be chipped,
he said.
Perfect,
Dwayne said as he took Granny's hand in his and put his other on my back.
I'll feel much better if we can always find them.
I wasn't quite sure what they were talking about, but I was willing to do almost anything to keep Daniel alive. I had to trust someone, and these people were it. Chapter 3
Sandy, I'm gonna need your help in here.
Junior called out as he spastically winked at all of us, nodding like a dummy with a plan. Dear God. What was he up to now? His waggling eyebrows and snickering clued me in. I was clear on what chipping meant now, and I suspected Junior had found another way to keep Sandy under surveillance without cameras. Again, his reported Mensa status boggled me.
What do you need, Sheriff? I'm in the middle of balancing the town budget and deconstructing the encryptions on the passwords you gave me,
Sandy said, avoiding eye contact with the besotted Junior. She was just as lovely as all the other werewolf shifters I'd met. Wild, long blonde curls framed her heart-shaped face, and her eyes were a beautiful shade of cornflower blue. However, far more impressive than her looks was her brain.
I'm gonna chip Dima and her son Daniel, since you're working for the city government now. You're gonna get chipped today, too,
he answered briskly, as he pulled a sharp knife from his desk and some minuscule pieces of metal. Sandy rolled her eyes and shook her head as Essie tried not to laugh.
And who monitors these chips, Sheriff?
She asked as she folded her arms across her chest and narrowed her eyes at Junior.
I do, but only if someone goes missing.
Junior told her as he busied himself sharpening the knife that I realized he was going to use on me and Daniel to insert the chips under our skin. Not really my idea of a good time, since I didn't want any of the people I cared about coming to my rescue. No one was going to die for me. However, Daniel was a different matter altogether.
With a grunt of disbelief aimed at Junior, Sandy turned to me and smiled.
Hi, I'm Sandy, she said warmly, extending her hand to me. It's lovely to meet you. I've heard such wonderful things about you and Daniel from Essie.
Likewise, I said as I took her hand in mine. Her grip was strong, and she met my eyes. Not an easy thing to do with a dragon. She was not one to screw with, and I liked her. I liked her even more when she squatted down and offered her hand to Daniel. She didn't even flinch as he covered her in ketchup when he avoided the shake and went right in for a hug.
You're a handsome little man, she said, ruffling his hair and then scooping him up in her arms. I have a nephew about your age. Maybe you can come over and play.
Daniel's eyes grew wide and he began to tremble. He'd never played with anyone his age, and guilt washed over me yet again at how sheltered his life had been.
Oh, Mommy, can I play with Sandy's nephew?
He asked. I think we might be able to work something out, I said carefully, wondering if it would be safe. If others in the town held the same opinion of dragons that Jimbo did, I wasn't so sure about Daniel being out of my sight.
I'll go with him,
Duane offered, as he either read my mind or expression.
Me too, Granny added quickly. I haven't seen Sandy's mama in ages. I'm due for some town gossip.
Being around people I trusted was seductive. I'd never had it except as a child. My mother would have died for us. And in the end, she did. She basically ran interference so my three brothers and I could escape my father's deadly wrath. My brothers didn't make it, and neither did my mother. I did, and I'd lived with the guilt of being the only survivor for hundreds of years. Until Daniel came along, I lived my life in my mother's and brother's honor. Avenging them was my only mission. Having Daniel only increased my need to end my father before it was too late.
Sandy?
My son asked in a shy tone as he gently patted her hair, inadvertently smearing it with red, crusty ketchup.
Will you mate with me?
Her laugh sounded like bells, and I giggled at the audacity of my 4-year-old Romeo.
Daniel, I think I might be a little bit old for you, but you have made my year in a big way, she told him and hugged him tight.
She's gonna mate with me,
Junior informed the room as he grinned and winked at Sandy.
We'll see about that,
she muttered as she put Daniel down and took the knife from Junior's hand.
Some bitch!
Junior crowed joyously as he picked a shocked Sandy up and swung her around the room.
You people heard it here. Sandy is mine, and she agreed to it.
Go quite that far, Essie said with a laugh. But I will say, you're making progress.
Sandy is right here,
the gal in question grumbled as she eased her way out of Junior's arms a little slower than someone who hated the person would.
I've agreed to nothing, but I'm slightly impressed with your restraint in the lady department.
There are no other women,
Junior promised as he crossed his heart and gave her a lopsided grin that even melted my heart a little bit.
You're it for me. The sooner you come to your senses, the sooner I'll take you out in my truck and make you see Jesus and all the angels and saints. Junior, you probably should have stopped after the you're it for me part,
Hank said with a grimace. I couldn't have agreed more. I half expected Sandy to slug him.
Dream on, big boy,
Sandy snapped at Junior as she extended her arm.
Chip me, and then you can remove all the cameras you have trained on me all over town.
You know about that?
Junior was flabbergasted and began to pace the room in distress.
What do I look to you, an idiot? I completely disabled the one you put in my bathroom, which, by the way, makes you a total jackhole.
Sandy informed him as she took a seat behind his desk and watched him wreak havoc in his office.
I thought it was a little weird that you never took a shower.
Junior mumbled as he jogged the perimeter of the room, knocking everything off of the walls and every surface he passed. Essie pulled me and Daniel up on the couch so we didn't get stepped on. Books and papers flew everywhere. Granny and Duane levitated and watched with glee. Hank was the only one brave enough to stay put.
I swear to Jesus in a jog strap, I was gonna take those down!
Junior bellowed in a panic as he dropped to his knees in front of her.
I can't stand the thought of anyone hurting you, so I, figured out a way to keep you safe. I know it was a jackhole move.
I'm no longer a man whore, but I might be a jackhole for the rest of my days. Please, Sandy!
He shouted, causing everyone in the room to slap their hands over their ears, including Sandy.
Just give me a dang chance! Tell me that you can find it in your heart to love a jackhole!
The room was quiet as we watched Sandy mull over the jackhole proposition. It was a doozy.
3 dates, she told him calmly, as we all let out a collective sigh of relief.
How about 3 weeks of dates every night?
Junior countered.
Why 3 weeks? Sandy asked, perplexed.
Well, Essie said I had to date you 3 weeks before I could get into your pants,
he explained innocently, as if he wasn't bargaining to get laid.
I said a month, Essie volunteered.
I figured 3 weeks was close enough,
Junior said. Sandy closed her eyes and breathed in slowly through her nose and then let it out even more slowly through her mouth. She had a hell of a lot of restraint.
Or she liked him a whole lot more than she was letting on.
You get 3 dates. If you behave like a gentleman, you might get another. However, you're on trial, Jacob. And you will not be getting into my pants anytime soon. Are we clear?
Totally.
Junior, a.k.a. Jacob, said in an outdoor voice, but thankfully not quite loud enough to damage eardrums.
She is so into me, he told the room. We done here?
Hank asked with a smirk.
We are,
Sandy replied as she stood and left Junior on the floor behind her.
Dima, are you all right with getting chipped?
I'm all right with Daniel being chipped, I admitted. But I don't want any of you in danger because of me.
I live for danger,
Dwayne announced as he floated back to the floor.
And I'll sleep far better if I know where you are.
Heavens to Murgatroyd, you should see him when he sleeps. He looks dead,
Granny said as she too floated back down.
He is dead. He's a vampire.
Essie stated the obvious as she gathered the chips and swabbed Daniel's arm with alcohol.
Dima, I want you chipped, and I don't want to have to kick your ass to accomplish it.
She's right,
Hank agreed as he carefully slit my son's skin and inserted the chip.
Whether you like it or not, we consider you part of our mismatched pack. We take care of our own.
Daniel barely flinched when Hank cut him. My boy was brave. Hank grabbed him and planted a big kiss on his cheek as Daniel giggled with pride. I lowered my eyes so no one saw the tears gathering there. Luck didn't play into my life, so I had to believe this was fate. I'd found these people because I was supposed to. Hopefully, I'd be able to return some of the gifts they were giving me. I extended my arm to a still-smiling Hank and let him chip me. Having my back covered was new, and it felt dangerously good. Sandy let Junior chip her with a large eye roll and enough attitude and back talk to keep him on his toes. He was going to have a hell of a time truly winning her over, but I suspected he eventually would. Not because he would lose the jackhole part of him overnight, or ever, but because Sandy wanted him just as much as he wanted her.
So you want to bring Seth over for dinner?
Essie asked with a grin, as she put a superhero bandage on Daniel and a SpongeBob one on me.
Yes, I replied. I think you all will like him. He's a lovely dragon.
I still say he's got to be ugly,
Dwayne announced to the general population as we all made our way out of the office.
You just don't describe someone who's do-it-worthy as a lovely person.
Dwayne, Essie said mildly.
Yes?
He inquired politely.
Shut your cake hole, or I'll shut it for you.
Fine point. Well made.
My opinionated vampire friend, as he hoisted Daniel up on his shoulders.
Cake hole!
Daniel shouted as he played Dwayne's bald head like it was a drum. Never in my years did I ever think I would see a dragon sitting on a vampire's shoulders using him for percussion that didn't end in a bloody death. Lately, my life never ceased to amaze me.
Damn it, Dwayne, don't cuss around the child,
Granny groused, as she too took a swipe at Dwayne's head.
We're gonna take this little man on a play date and meet you and your friend at Essie's for dinner. Sound good?
My hesitation was brief, as I observed Daniel's excitement.